Good morning. You've tuned into the International Connection once again. We are coming into the home stretch for the Mind Control in Canada and the U.S. radio series. This will be continuing till the end of December. And today we are airing part two of an interview with Kathleen Sullivan, a survivor of U.S. government mind control. Kathleen is alleging that the CIA, NASA, and the Mafia used her in assassination operations, espionage, criminal acts, and for bodyguarding services. Kathleen also alleges that George Bush and Henry Kissinger were two among others that used and abused her. In this interview, we talk about the code names of operations and mind control projects and what they were about. And now, Kathleen Sullivan.
The state of stuff is simply that it is very abusive of other people's boundaries. I mean, if someone asked me to lay hands on them for healing, I would consider doing it, okay? But I would let them know that I need to know that they're comfortable with it, that they really, really want it, and I really don't like doing it much anymore because it just kind of spooks me too much.
Well, there's been a fair amount of information coming out about the Soviets' research into these kind of areas and along with the United States at Stanford University in terms of remote viewing and... how do you remember how it felt to, in terms of using this kind of technology? Of, did it feel like you were having an out-of-body experience? Or
absolutely. It was really rather fascinating. I think one of the things I've been finding out, and little bits and pieces I heard from those people, was that one reason that survivors of childhood abuse and/or survivors who had generational abilities to do this stuff. Like, I had a Swedish grandmother who was a healer in that area. She did what she called pain drawing. Now, I've not gotten any confirmation that it was called that by the Swedes, but that's what she told me it was when I was a little girl. I would be tortured, and then she would come to me and put her hands on me and literally draw the pain energy into her own body. And it was the darndest thing. So she actually taught me how to do some of that.
Well, it seems like the really unfortunate thing with a lot of this kind of mind control with using the mental energies and the energies within ourselves, within our minds and brains, is that it can be used for such positive things, but it seems to have been used a lot in very destructive ways.
It looks like anything else. It can be used for good or bad. I always think about the atomic bomb when I think about that. Splitting the atom can be wonderfully used, but these people went and used it to kill others. The thing I'm running across right now, talking to other survivors about the Theta stuff, is that a lot of people have not been comfortable talking about it because the public is being told that it didn't work, that such experiments were shut down because they didn't work, etc. And yet they really did. And what I'm figuring is that certain elements of our government and the Canadian government, I'm sure, wanted to keep it to themselves. Basically, I think that's all it was.
It's a secret
what
weapon.
I was taught, and I will say this much, James Jesus Angleton, who was a director of operations, I believe, for the CIA when I was a little girl.
Yeah, he was
he
director.
He was one of the people that taught me a lot about this stuff. And one of the things that he taught me was that anyone can do this. This is not, although people who have the generational tendency, who were raised up to believe that, yes, it can happen, so they don't have these mental blocks that, no, I can't, or it's demonic, or whatever. They're more able to do it quickly and purely, which is very important as well. If you have a lot of doubts about it and confused and worried, it doesn't work too well. I read an article once by a well-known psychic who also said he doesn't like the word psychic, and he said the same thing, and I thought it was great. He said, anyone can do this. So I think it would be wonderful if more people could learn to use it for good, for healing, and not take advantage of it. But it's like with anything else. If there's people that learn about it, there's also going to be an element of our society who will try and use this for nefarious purposes.
Yeah. Well, the word psychic kind of connotates something that's outside of our bodies and something foreign to the human experience when it is very much, seems to be very much part of it, but very, as you say, not a lot of people know how to use their own mental energies.
Right. This is kind of cute, okay? Spent a lot of time in churches, they used a lot of scriptural programming on me as well to keep me in line through guilt and all that. One of the things a lot of churches, the pastors will teach from pulpits is that what was done during the New Testament era by the so-called disciples and stuff is not available to people now because we're in a different dispensation is the word they would use. And so I can see even where in churches people are discouraged from exploring this part of their brain because they're told that we can't, but we can, okay? It's very human. It's not frightening. I think it'll be more comfortable when more people are aware of the stuff. But for a lot of people, it is frightening right now because it's not something that's talked about very much, except, you know, like people that really promote it, you know, for money and stuff.
Now, you mentioned James Jesus Angleton, who was the director of counterintelligence for the CIA.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. How did you become involved with him and talking about this and learning from
him? My dad and him seem to be awfully close in some ways I really don't like to talk about. He treated me very oddly. He talked to me like I was an adult. He didn't seem to like children at all. But all I can figure, and I'm always analyzing these people because it helps me to understand their motives better. His middle name was Jesus, and he used Jesus in the New Testament as the model for this. One of the things he kept telling me is where Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, said that what he did, we can do more of, or do more. And he said he took that literally. He took that scientifically, where Jesus Christ said that if you say to a mountain, be cast into the sea, it will be cast into the sea if you have enough faith. And what he was teaching me was, if I have enough faith in my brain. And so, in a way, I am glad that he taught me some of these things. I don't like what some of it was used for. But he took it very, very seriously, and I understand why. Because even as far as the remote viewing, oh, man, the things you can do with that in spycraft is outstanding, you know? even just like being in a room with somebody and being able to pick up on their thoughts, you know? Mm. Or know when somebody has a physical illness without even them knowing it yet. It's amazing what they can do with this stuff.
And how would people go about learning more about this or how they can develop?
I really don't know unless you want to be an MK victim.
No, thanks.
I don't know people yet who do this and are comfortable with it. I will eventually. I think it's pretty new information yet, but I think the more people talk about it, I've talked to a number of people who have told me in private that they've had things like this happen to them in their lives, that they've been so afraid to tell anybody because they thought that they would be considered demonically possessed. I especially run into that one in people that are, you know, Christian. But I think that the more people learn that it's not evil, that it's not supernatural, that it is a human thing, I think there's a lot more people that are already doing this than they realize. A lot more.
I'd like to talk about, just before, was there another system? You mentioned Omicron as well. Did you want to talk about that?
Let's see. Omicron. That was a system specially created for the mafia. I did receive a verification from Corydon Hammond's information, which was pretty fascinating to me, getting that kind of a validation. It also scared the pants off me. I was like, oh my God, not the mob. Yes. I've had memories of mob figures that my dad knew ever since I was a very little girl and being introduced to a lot of them. One investigator that I talked to, when I described how these people looked, some of the places that my dad met them, he said, well, that would have been the Columbo crime family. That was up in the Pennsylvania area in New York City. I'm assuming he had no reason to lie to me about that, and I'm not going to go asking their bosses, okay? I also spent time at a place called Mar-a-Largo. That was a code name. Ted Gunderson advised me that the full name for that resort in the Florida Keys is actually Marina del Largo. And what's weird about this is Donald Trump's getaway place in Florida is, let's see, Marina del Lago. Like, whatever, okay? But Trafficante, that family, they own that facility. And I've had numerous memories of going down there. So what I ran into a lot was that the mob would do a lot of stateside illegal activities and are involved in, oh my gosh, so many different kinds of underground illegal businesses, tons and tons. And they had their own system in me, so that when they wanted to use me, it was Omicron. And it was pretty simple. I've seen some other children of mob figures on TV and stuff that I very easily identified as also being under mind control. So I think what it boils down to is simply that the mob does not want the people that they use to do, like, drug couriering and hits or whatever, to remember who they did it for. So it is very much to their benefit that, you know, as it was for these other agencies, that the MK victims would not remember to be able to testify someday. Very simple.
It seems like from the testimony of survivors of mind control that they have been used for a lot of different types of criminal activity.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us what you remember of how you were used by the mafia?
The mafia?
Just in a general sense.
Now, understand, there was a lot of crossovers here between the CIA, the mafia, and several other intelligence and federal agencies, including the Pentagon. A lot of times they did things together, okay? I can do this. I made a list a while back of different things that I had been used in. And again, there's a lot of crossovers here between the different organizations. One thing I did learn was that back during World War II, the OSS and the military recruited a lot of mob figures, especially out of Italy, to do actual spying for them on the governments that they were trying to get more information from and of. So I assume that, you know, some of the personal friendships between some of the operatives and some of the mob figures probably continued, and I can't help but wonder if that's possibly why a lot of this mob stuff is connected and is still being covered up. Okay, here's a list of some things I was used for. In smuggling, believe it or not, I was used to help smuggle missiles, small ones. Krugerrands, which I learned are often used because they cannot be traceable, or at least could not. They didn't have any code numbers, ID numbers on them. Diamonds, drugs, and unfortunately they used me to transport children to pedophiles and such a lot. I was used to do bodyguarding for politicians and other dignitaries. I also bodyguarded children of several politicians. In situations like that, again, they would prefer to use MK victims because when these politicians and other dignitaries were involved in illegal activities, they would rather have bodyguards that would not be able to testify. Okay. I was used in many different kinds of assassinations. How many? Too many. I couriered mental messages between heads of state, including one president, quite a bit. Again, the reason for that was because they expected that I would not remember. Plus, especially in those situations, whenever I would remember that suicide programming would kick in and I would have to fight not dying, because they did not want those messages remembered, especially. I helped my dad program children. I helped train children how to fight. So I guess that was for future ops that they were going to be used in. I was used in hostage interventions, especially where there was a kidnapping and they didn't want it to hit the news. So they would send in a team, and a lot. Sometimes I did it on my own because I didn't look like an operative. I didn't look like anybody threatening, and so I usually could get into a building or whatever a lot easier than a man who was armed or such could. I was used in disposing of bodies of people who were killed on ops. That's gross. I participated in some of those acted out scenarios that, you know, developed into screen memories and other victims. So I was on both ends of that. I participated in quite a few porn movies, all kinds, the worst. And believe me, those are extremely lucrative, as well as selling of children is extremely lucrative. They had me do what they called pillow talk, which was having sex with dignitaries and other people that they wanted to get information on. I was actually kind of good at that. I'm not proud of it, but I was good at it. back
so you
home,
would coerce them into
participating in the cult rituals, which probably were filmed a lot of times to be used later on. And actually, some people are real into those kind of films, and again, that can be very money-making. Sometimes they use me to torture and interrogate people. As a child and adult, both, they would have me sexually service people. This is another area I want to touch on because a lot of survivors are feeling kind of uncomfortable talking about this. As an adult, they had parts of me that were programmed specifically to have sex with females, particularly female politicians and wives of politicians. Someday, the truth will be known about some of these females in D.C., but right now, obviously not. Another odd thing that one president had me do was do a seance for him, where he was like trying to get a certain person at that seance to believe that her husband was, dead husband was giving her instructions. So, I mean, you see, there's so many different ways that one person can be used, especially when they had cross-training in many different types of, well, different areas. People like me, they called multifaceted, which meant that even though I had one original personality, they split off the different parts of my personality to extremes, to where one part might lay down and be absolutely non-resistant when I was being raped. Another part would kill if somebody tried to do it, but those parts were amnesic to one another, and if they were controlled properly, they never came up at the same time. Very, very effective.
So who would you be doing these operations for?
crud, you would ask. Okay, there were a number of groups that I did a lot of this stuff for. There was one group that I've recently been getting some verifications on. I knew them as the Octopus, and they actually did octopus programming on me, actually creating a part of me that really thought it was an octopus. And they did that by putting me in an aquarium with octopuses and putting a lid on to where I nearly drowned. Actually, I did kind of drown, and then they resuscitated me. They are really cute ways of doing some of this stuff. I have already remembered that Ollie North was involved, and I don't mind saying that because that's already pretty much information out there.
Involved with what in particular?
Iran-Contra.
So there were mind control elements to...
Yes. They had me go down to some countries in South America and several islands and discuss things with some leaders, bring them messages and such. So I found out that the name of the group that was running a lot of this stuff was actually called Octopus, and I about had a heart attack when I found out it was real. Oh, no, not them, too. I was used extensively for the CIA. I was used also by the Pentagon, particularly with sometimes there would be Ranger or Delta teams, and I'm not talking Delta programming. I'm talking the military personnel, where I would go in with them because of certain training I had that, and just being who I was and looking how I did, I could get into situations sometimes better than they could, and they would sometimes back me up. Like I said, I did some hits for the mob. I'm not at all proud of any of this. I also did some for them up in Chicago. I'm not sure which family, mob family, that was for, and it was really awful stuff. I also did some stuff for a group that I knew as the Organization. I have received some confirmation that it is probably NSA, which would fit because when I started getting out, they were having me report to a building where they had some offices where I was being, my memories were being pretty much shut down and erased. So there is something going on with that as well. But CIA seemed to be the main one, as far as I've remembered.
Mm-hmm.
What they did also, it's really bizarre how they do all this. They started working my schedule to where when I wasn't busy working on one of these ops, they would have me do, like, bodyguarding for politicians, which is a good favor for them, you know, makes them feel beholden to somebody for my doing that service for them. But I also did other things for politicians, like bringing them drugs, children, stuff like that.
Did you get the sense that you were used more operationally, or did they involve you in any kind of experimentation as well?
Names that they used of what I assume were operations or projects. I know back when I was a teenager, they had a really odd code name that they used for some girls that I believe we were trained and programmed at Fort McClellan. I believe that's in Alabama. And they actually called us Golden Girls and Bluebird Models. And they actually introduced us to an audience full of people that were connected to this, and including relatives. It was like a big deal. It's like a lot of people were really proud of it that we were going to be used. And this was before we actually became operatives. Now, I know several women who, even when they were children, they were being used to do kills, okay? I personally don't have memory of that yet. Hopefully, well, I shouldn't say hopefully. If it happens, it happens. Now, my daughter was used to courier drugs even when she was a little girl. But for me, that was kind of the introduction as far as code names went. One that I heard a number of times was Operation Goldilocks, and I don't know if they were referring to how I was being used or if they were just using that word around me. I'm not sure. I'm just going to name some code words I heard. There was something called Operation Sea Base. I don't know if that's a capital C base or SEA base. Operation Massacre, that sounds real exciting. Operation Sea Stone or Sand Stoned, they used both that day. There was Royal India and Indian Ink. Now, I want to add here, I have tried to look up some of these words in a book I got a copy of, called CIA Database. I believe it was by Ralph McGahey.
Mm-hmm.
I've found like two or three of these words in it, so I don't know if these are like operational names or if they were more specific code names that were being used at that time, kind of like cover names. There was a code name, Dark Purple or Deep Purple, that was a code name that had to do with literal reprogramming of MK victims, actual facilities and such. Let's see, there was Larkspur. There's a type of programming they did that used torture, extreme heat and extreme cold, that unfortunately I see a lot in commercials now, and it's called Fire and Ice. Pretty bad. There was Delta Blue. There was a Project Deep Blue, which seems to have been extremely important, and yet I do not have enough memory on that. There was, I did get a verification on this one, Gold Star Operational System. George Bush's baby, absolutely, he was so proud of it, and it's directly connected to NASA and DARPA, D-A-R-P-A both. There was one called Chronic Headache, another one called Marigold. Let's see, what else we got? This is another code name I kept running across, and it has something to do about intelligence computer systems analysis, and they actually would have me see it in my sleep just about. And it was like a big Z, and then the letters B-O-M. I'm real curious about what that was. Another one that was recurring, I heard this a number of times, was simply Project 9. And I wish it wasn't that simple, because then it would be easier to find out what it was. There was a SAC location, Strategic Air Force Command, or Air Command, in the U.S. that had silos, and they codenamed that place Green Acres. Let's see what else we got. NSA's computer system, one of the code names for that was called simply the Brain. I think it was like the best computer system of all time in the U.S. Probably still is. Another project or operation name in my earlier adult years, and I'm 42 by the way, was Top Hat. They also had Messiah, Overlord. They had a code name simply called the Link that had to do with NSA or some type of possibly computer communications between NSA and NASA. They talked about a code name called the Centipede, which had to do with information compartmentalization between different departments in the CIA. They would say, let's see, one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. That way they kept people from knowing too much about what was going on. This one I ran across in my journaling, and it really surprised me. I was like, oh my God. Okay, I'll tell the word last. Okay, and I even journaled. This is the name of CIA programming that had to do with a totally visualized, totally fantasy, internal mental world created in MK victims. The code name for this was Heaven's Gate. Oh, my God. Yeah. Did that ever fit when I reread that? George Bush, and during the Reagan era, had mentioned Operation Sandstorm a number of times, and also a code name Mongoose to do with that. And it has something to do with Gaddafi. There was a computer system that I knew as codenamed Brandon that was connected to NASA. I'd like to learn more about that, actually. One code name that was mentioned to me a number of times was Clean Sweep. I did get some verification about that in the library, where they were trying to shut down a lot of the Aryan connections. connections to all this, because a lot of these federal agencies realized that if they didn't do something, we were going to end up with a Nazi-run country. One of the things I would also, if I had a choice, ask for are open investigations into the Nazi influence in our government. I think this very seriously needs to be done, because one of the things my father really and others had talked about was that when the Nazi criminals were brought here from Germany through Operation Paperclip and all, they were very angry people. Mensa was an interesting code name that they used, and it is not directly connected to the organization that is used to be promoted a lot in Reader's Digest, by the way, which I was told to read and still do. Odd. I don't know what that command was for. Mensa was used as a code name for mind control victims who had genius IQs. One of the things that I and some others were used to do were participate in D.C. and think tanks for several politicians, including George Bush. They weren't real creative sometimes with their speeches or ideas, and so they would, because we were around people at home and kind of knew what was going on, and you know, politically in a lot of people's minds, they would have us come up with ideas to use in speeches. Project Armageddon is one that I was exposed to a lot. This had to do, and I don't know if this is made public yet, yo. I don't want to hack anyone off, but it has to do with the Pentagon, and it has to do with global war, or World War Number 3. They did a lot of war games, and even on in rooms where they would practice it, this, I don't know, whatever they do as military men. I had also inside what they called the Keys of Solomon, which was coded information that I carried for this Armageddon, for these officers. I don't know if that was stored information for future or just for when they were planning, strategically planning. Two more Aryan-type code names that I heard a number of times were Pax Romana and The Plan. I have gotten a verification on the use of the words The Plan that is connected to Share International, which is rather fascinating to me, and I'm going to go ahead and throw a name out here. Henry Kissinger, who is a Luciferian, he is a staunch member of Lucius Trust, which was the way I was told to say it, up in New York City, was one of the people that used those words a lot. There's a group that is strongly mob-connected called Satanic Hierarchy, and it was based in New York City, although one of the leaders who flew over to New York City a lot from Britain was Robert Maxwell, who supposedly suicided a couple years ago in the ocean off his boat. Seriously questioned that it was a suicide. My dad was also a member of Satanic Hierarchy. Mount Hood, I do not know what state that was in, but it was where they did traumatic baseline, also known as near-death torture and conditioning. Really awful stuff.